At the moment of true conversion. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. Although the presence of the Spirit is a non-miraculous gift, in some sense, our own choices can make greater room for the Spirit in our hearts. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul urges, "Be filled with the Spirit," Ephesians 5:18. This is a command. I can do things to promote a Spirit-filled life. Like what? Pursue spiritual gifts such as tongues or prophetic speech. Paul certainly encouraged such things in his correspondence with Corinth. But he also predicted the end of spiritual gifts in the church. In 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, and in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, one of the scriptures we have studied in our series, God's Purpose for the Church. The imperative, be filled with the Spirit, in Ephesians 5:18, is modified by participial clauses that function as commands. These clauses teach the church how to make the Spirit welcome in the assembly and in the heart. Let's read Ephesians 5:15 through 21. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." This paragraph continues the teaching about the children of light, our text from last Sunday evening, verses 3 through 14. Paul says that once you were darkness, verse 8, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Darkness is characterized by immorality, obscenity, and greed, verses 3 through 5. But the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, verse 9. Verse 10 says, "Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." In our text, verses 15 through 21, the theme continues, but the vocabulary changes a bit. Now Paul speaks not of light and darkness, but of wisdom and folly. Drunkenness, verse 18, is another example of darkness or foolishness. Getting drunk leads to dissipation, which is destructive self-indulgence. Don't be filled with spirits, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. But how? Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. The churches of Christ have a reputation for not believing in music. I know what people mean. We don't play instruments in worship, no pianos, drums, guitars, organs, and so on. There's good reason for this choice. Mechanical instruments belong to the Old Testament sacrificial system. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 27. This passage is an example of several that we could share that all teach the same thing. Hezekiah was the king of Judah, a righteous man, but his father Ahaz was a wicked king. He had offered his own children as human sacrifice to false gods. He had trashed the temple, and Hezekiah, upon becoming king, made sure that it was cleaned out, ritually purified, and made ready for sacrifice. And so the priests are at the altar, and the orchestra and choir, they're on hand. This is what we read in 2 Chronicles 29, 27. Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Notice that in the Old Testament temple worship system, there was definitely instrumental music. The instruments of David would surely include the lyre or the harp, which was apparently his favorite instrument. The music began when the burnt offering began, and the music was played and sung until the burnt offering was finished. In the church, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. Look at Psalm 43 and verse 4. Here is a verse that very briefly ties these two things together, animal sacrifice and instrumental worship. It's not a story, but a statement. Psalm 43, 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise thee with the lyre, O God, my God. David talks about praising God with the lyre in the same breath in which he speaks of going to the altar, which was a place of animal sacrifice. The churches of Christ do believe in music. We love music. I learned this afternoon that Chester, who does such a wonderful job leading our singing, even though he's so young, is planning to be a music major in school, in college. He loves music. The musical quality of our singing depends on a number of factors: the size of the audience, the vocal talent of the singers, the skill of the leader, the mood the church happens to be in. In many congregations, the singing is truly beautiful, and that's true of our singing at Seagoville, too. The other day, in a business place, I met a woman who was a pharmaceutical sales rep, and we struck up a conversation. I told her that I was the preacher for the congregation here, and she said, "Oh, the Church of Christ. When I was a girl, I was Catholic, but I had a best friend who was a member of the Church of Christ, and on Wednesday nights, I would go to church with her. And what I remember," she said, "was the singing without instruments." Do you use instruments? And I thought, oh boy, she's probably going to say, "I hated that." She didn't. I said, "Yes, we sing a cappella." And she said, "That's good. I liked the singing. It gives everyone a chance to harmonize." And that is so true. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but if a church uses instruments, and for some reason you actually hear the congregation sing, it's horrible. The music, the instrumental music, is so loud it covers up what the people are actually doing. And if you If you don't know what I mean, if you haven't heard that, sometime if you're at Cracker Barrel or somewhere and some family is singing to their birthday person, that's about what it sounds like, all off key and out of sorts. So no, we don't play instruments in worship, but we do love music. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, let's go back there, and I want to share with you from the NIV. It says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 18. This is a passive command. It means open your heart to the Spirit. But how? By addressing one another in song. And by giving thanks to the Father, verse 20. Always and for everything, giving thanks. In this section of the letter, this is Paul's second appeal for gratitude to God. Verse 4 says, let there be no filthiness, nor silly talk, nor levity, which are not fitting, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. As I mentioned last Sunday evening, Paul doesn't tell us to shut up. He doesn't say, stop saying silly things, coarse things, evil things, and just keep your mouth shut. He says, stop saying evil things, but open your lips and praise the Lord. Thank Him. It's generally understood that impurity and obscenity offend and alienate the Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where Paul talks about this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. The Corinthians were very immature spiritually, hadn't been Christians very long. And when they came to Jesus, they had a hard time giving up their old habits. And one of those bad habits was sleeping with temple prostitutes. And the church, apparently in a letter to Paul, had tried to excuse this behavior. And he writes them back and addresses that issue in chapter 6 and says, look, you can't join yourself to a prostitute because you belong to Jesus. And He's in your heart. And when you engage in that kind of behavior, you're dragging the name and person of Jesus through the muck of your sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Paul says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you don't belong to yourself. You are purchased by the blood of Jesus. Paul is teaching the Corinthians that impurity offends God. We understand that. What isn't so well understood is that ingratitude deeply offends God too. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 35. This is part of the Sermon on the Plain. Very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but it's shorter as recorded, and it has unique things in it not found in the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. The ungrateful and the selfish. God considers ingratitude to be a declaration of hostility to Him, who is the giver of every good and perfect thing. The air we breathe, the sun that makes our food grow, the the rain that gives us drink so that we don't die. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul predicts that in the last days there will be evil things. He writes, "For men," 2 Timothy 3:2, "for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." That's a list of some nasty things, isn't it? Abusive, unholy, arrogant, and ungrateful is in that list. Lack of gratitude makes my heart inhospitable to God's Spirit. This principle is no puzzler. Do you enjoy the company of an ungrateful person? A man or woman who is always pouting, whining, grumbling, complaining? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, "Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." A Christian overwhelmed by sorrow may wonder how God could expect gratitude in all circumstances. What if my house burns down and my spouse is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer? What if I lose my job the day after signing a 30-year mortgage on a new house? The Apostle Paul was uniquely qualified to answer such questions. The letter to the Ephesians was written in prison. But Paul makes it plain that he still has much to be grateful for. Look at chapter 1 and verse 16. Ephesians 1:16. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul had so many Christian friends, people whom he had taught the gospel, people whom he had mentored to become preachers of the gospel, and he was thankful for those people, even in prison. And look at chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3:8. He says, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints." Why would he say that? Because he had persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He always stood in awe of the fact that God forgave him of his sins, which were so heinous. But there was another thing that he stood in awe of, and he names it here. "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." When he says this grace was given, he's not referring to the forgiveness of his own sins that he experienced when he obeyed the gospel. He's using the word grace in the sense of a gift, a super gift. And that gift was the opportunity to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He had the privilege of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of knowing Jesus. He was in prison, but he had so much to be grateful for. Even this letter that he wrote, which has been studied, read, applied millions of times over, was written in prison. And Paul was carrying out the ministry for which he was so grateful. A truly grateful person even finds something to be thankful for on the flip side of distress. A cancer patient may be thankful for good medical care. A crime victim may be thankful for the tender concern of family and friends. Gratitude is an invitation to the Spirit. In the Colossians parallel to our passage in Ephesians 5, the call for thanksgiving is emphatic. I'd like to read that. It's Colossians 3:15 through 17. Colossians is a sister epistle to Ephesians. They were both written from Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Both letters talk about essentially the same things, but there's a different tone in each, a different emphasis, a different reason for the writing. Colossians 3, 15 through 17, you'll notice how strikingly parallel this is to Ephesians 5. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Three times in one short passage. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. Open your heart to the Spirit. But how? By addressing one another in song. By giving thanks to the Father. And by submitting to one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 21, the last verse of our paragraph, says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. In the Revised Standard Version, this verse begins a new paragraph and a new section. I understand the reasoning. Submission in the family is the theme that immediately follows in chapter 5, verse 22, through chapter 6 and verse 9. But the original grammar suggests that verse 21 is a continuation of what precedes. And this is made clear in the English Standard Version, which says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's a good translation. That is, be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, speaking to each other in song, verse 19, giving thanks to God in all circumstances, verse 20, and submitting to each other, verse 21. The opposite of submitting to one another is dominating one another, exalting ourselves. A heart open to the Spirit's fullness is supportive of other people. In the paragraphs that follow, Paul will illustrate submission in various family relationships. He'll talk about wives and husbands, children and parents, servants and masters. And over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll look at those relationships in more detail. Many churchgoers crave a supernatural experience of the Spirit. They long to speak in tongues or receive revelations in dreams. But Paul teaches in both Ephesians and 1 Corinthians that such gifts were to pass. But every congregation of every age is commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Paul doesn't say, fill yourself with the Spirit. He can't, because the Spirit isn't subject to our control. We are to open our hearts and lives to Him. In a church filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters praise God in song, live lives of grace and gratitude, and serve one another's interests. There's an interesting text in Revelation. It's in chapter 22, I forget the verse, but it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the bride is the church. The Spirit of Christ invites you to come to Jesus. And the church joins in the invitation. We love you too, and so we ask you to come to Jesus. Why should you do that? Because Jesus loves you. Because Jesus has a place prepared in heaven for you if you belong to Him. Because seeking and following Jesus is best for your life even here on earth. Dominguez was telling me today about his experience in New Orleans. He has been there a couple of times recently on business trips. And he's found it very depressing and distressing to see the moral depravity there, the open practice of homosexuality on the streets, people lying all over the place, dead drunk. What kind of life is that? You may say, well, I'm not that far gone. I may do this and that, but I'm not in that shape. Well, maybe not, and maybe you'll never be in that kind of condition. But the behavior that so many people engage in on a daily basis is pointing in that sad direction, or leading others to go in that sad direction. We are so blessed if we will open our hearts to Jesus and let Him lead and guide us. So I want to invite you tonight, along with the church, the Spirit invites you tonight to come to Christ, confess Him, submit to Him, live for Him, and love Him. It's a decision that you'll never regret. Please come while we stand and sing.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses and hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friends, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. You may be seated. Our song before communion will be page 382. Again, that's page 382, and we'll sing the first and the third verse.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to me humble go? Why did He choose a lowly birth? Because He loved me so. Precious life for me, because He loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing His praise, and then to glory go. And raise
This table has been left prepared for those of you who aren't able to be here this morning. If you would, please raise your hand after each prayer. We'll be glad to serve you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you for all the many blessings you've given us. And we thank you for this another opportunity in which we could gather here together and worship you. And for this opportunity in which we could gather around this table, Lord. And we ask a special prayer that you would please be with each and every one of those who are partaking of this bread, Lord, that they may partake of it in a way that is well pleasing in thy sight and reflect on themselves and remember that time when your son so willingly gave his life and gave his body on the cross for our sins so that we may one day have a home in heaven with you. And it's through his name that we pray. Amen.
Dear Father God, as we sit here, we're just so very thankful for everything that you have done for us, Father God, for everything indeed's come for you. And in talking of giving thanks, we just very much thank you for that ultimate sacrifice that none of us can make for ourselves. Thankful that you did it for us, and thank you for this gift. Just let us take it in a way that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord, we bow before you at this time, just thanking you for the countless blessings that you have given to each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here and worship you, Lord. And at this time, we ask that we can give back a portion that is well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We want to thank each of you for being here this evening. And just a reminder to fill out your attendance card. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know how pleased we are that you are here with us this evening. And we hope that you'll come back and visit again. And we ask that you would fill out the pink side of that card, pass those down to the end of the aisles, and our young men will pick those up shortly. This week, if you would remember these individuals in your prayers, Doug Scott, he is home from the hospital. Also, Betty Patterson, she had accidentally burned herself with a hot pad, and she does have second-degree burns. She is recovering at home. She asked for no visitors at this time. And then also, Janine's dad, that's Jimmy Terry, he is having cancer surgery on Wednesday. So if you would keep each of these in your prayers this week, and also pick up a care sheet for others that might be in need of our prayers and our encouragement. Saturday, April the 8th, the evangelism team will be feeding the residents of the St. Augustine Apartments. If you would like to help, please be at the building by 9 a.m. The World Bible School will meet Wednesday evening. That's during class time. I think this morning I may have announced that it was after services. That's not right. It's during class time, and then you'll come in here for our devotional. The visitation meeting will be next Sunday, April the 9th. It'll be at 2 p.m. and it will be in, room 2 at 5 p.m. And then also next Sunday, there will be a tea for the Lads to Leaders female participants. That'll begin at 4 p.m. If you have money for your Lads to Leaders fees, make sure that you give those to Leslie as soon as you can. Thank you.
Closing song this evening will be page 189. Again, it's page 189. We'll sing the first and the third verse. In the chorus, there's a crescendo, and along with the crescendo, there's a crescendo in pitch, and along with the crescendo will also increase in volume. And I'll direct that with my hand. Again, page 189, the first and the third verse. If you would, please stand while we sing the song and pass your cards to the center aisle.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How can thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossing, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of oceans and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth, sun, in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breath. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The
whether the wrath of a storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful and holy day that you've given us.